Good morning, everyone. That's kind of pitiful. Have you had your coffee this morning? Let's say good morning loud and clear.
Good morning.
Act like you're at the Bears game and they're winning. We have a promo to this ministry, Creation Evidence Expo. I'd like the staff to play that for me, please. If you can, I don't know if you can dim the lights, but this promo is what this ministry is all about. It's all about truth.
El Olam, the everlasting God.
Before you start that, you can get the lights, because you can't really see it well without turning down some of the lights. Check this out, and when they get this thing ready. Okay, well, let's go with it as it is. Let's go with it as it is. Oh, there you go. See what can happen when you ask?
God. Elohim Emet, the God of truth. El Shaddai, God Almighty. El Hakovod, the God of glory. El Hakodosh, the Holy God. El Tzadik, the righteous God. Elohim Chaim, the living God. Yehovah Chatov, the good Lord. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. I am.
Amen, I am. That's the great one. In the beginning.
There is evidence.
This is my mother-in-law, Ellen Perry.
There is evidence.
There is evidence.
There is
scientific evidence.
Deception exposed. Now, this lesson you just received here, it shows when you're in darkness, the light still works. We were all in darkness, but see what happened? Here comes the light. If you would, this is what this ministry is all about. I am Jesus Christ created everything. There is evidence, scientific evidence that proves creation is true and evolution not. And I didn't come from no monkey, baboon, or gorilla. I wouldn't look this well if I did. And neither would you. Amen. I don't know how much time I have left here, so I'm gonna do like Frank and Jesse James. One time they was corralled in a canyon, and they was surrounded. And Frank hollered over to Jesse, said, "What we do, Jesse?" Jesse hollered back over to Frank, "Better make every shot count." Y'all supposed to laugh. Turn to Acts chapter 17, please, in your Bibles. I trust you have a Bible. Because if you didn't have a Bible, I could be preaching from a Spiegel's catalog. Amen. At my church, to Pastor Wilkerson and to all the staff here at First Baptist, this is my first time ever being in First Baptist. I pray it won't be the last time. Amen. And this is my first time being in Hammond. And I'm young, 77. But when I have in my church, we use King James Version. I said King James Version. I don't use no NIV, non-inspired version. I don't use no Living Bible, because the King James is living. I don't use the ESV and RSI and all that other junk, perversions, I call it. Amen? But I use King James, and if I don't, and I have to take up offerings, and if I don't get enough with my King James when I have a special offering, special need for somebody, then I get my Jesse James version out. I guarantee you I'll get what I need with Jesse. Amen. Acts chapter 17, and we're going to preach a message from Acts chapter 17. And last night, Pastor jumped on it at the radio program. But we're going to talk to you starting from creation to Christ. Amen? That's the title of the message. And I want you to know this, that when a preacher looks at his watch, it don't mean nothing. That's why I ain't going to look at mine. Now, when I get back to Indianapolis, my folks always ask me, Pastor, did you move them people that you preach to? And I have to always tell them the truth that, yes, I moved them. And I'm getting ready to move y'all right now. Will you please stand, all of you in the house? All of you, every one of you, stand up if you're able to. Amen. Stand up and let me move you. Amen. I'm not moving in the wrong direction. I'm moving in the right direction. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I'm so grateful this morning to be standing here in First Baptist Church of Hammond. I'm still caught up in the whirlwind of emotions. But Lord, I don't want my emotions to short circuit the preaching of the Word of God. That's the most important thing we can do for this society. So, Lord, you help me today to deliver this message starting from creation to Christ. And, Lord, I give you the praise. Thank you for Pastor Wilkerson. Thank you for his faith. It takes faith to take on this message of creation. It takes faith. It takes someone with vision, someone that know how important it is to know our foundation is creation. And the same one that gave us foundation, same one hung, bled, and died for us on the cross of Calvary. He's our creator. He's our Lord, our Savior. He's soon coming back to rescue us out of this darkness. So bless the preaching today, and we'll give you the praise. Bless our service tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if somebody, you run across somebody from my church, Zion Unity Baptist Church, and they ask you, did our pastor move you? What are you going to say? Amen. Praise God. I have been pastoring 39 years, Zion Unity Baptist Church. We're inner city ministry. And I've got more missionaries than I got members. I ain't going to tell you how many missionaries I have, because you'll know how many members I have. That's not important, but I'm just here to tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ has to be shared wherever you go. And that's what we come to do, to share this morning, the importance of the gospel. Jesus said, I've had some preachers, these so-called preachers today, that says that the gospel don't work today. I don't know what loony bin they've been in, but I got news for you, the gospel still works. And then I've had some of these preachers that I've heard say the blood don't work either. I'm telling you, the gospel still saves, and the blood still works. I got a lot of witnesses in this building to tell you the gospel still works. People are still getting saved, and the blood is still washing us white as snow. I wish, and amens are free around here. I know you got this chocolate boy here today, but You don't have to. You can just say amen. It's not going to hurt you. Amen. Because in our place, they said, well, you guys get happy. You would too if you knew Jesus like we know him. Amen. Here, let me get rolling here. Here in this text, Acts chapter 17, we're going to move right through here quickly. And I don't know what quickly means, but we're going to move through it. Here in verse 16, Acts chapter 17, I do a lot of verse by verse preaching, because expository is what it's called, in case you guys don't know nothing about the Bible and dealing with the scriptures, but y'all not preachers. They pay us the big bucks to be the preachers and tell you the truth. But Acts chapter 17, verse 16 says this in the King James Version. Y'all go stay with me. It says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Here Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Athens, Greece. And verse 16 said, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Now, just in case you don't know what idolatry is, it's the worship of idol gods. Can I illustrate something real quick? This could be my God, but it don't work. It don't wake me up. It don't give me strength. I'm carrying it. It ain't carrying me. Idol gods. And this picture here looks like Chicago. It looks like Hammond, Indiana. It looks like Indianapolis, Indiana. Truth is, it looks like America. Wholly given to idolatry. Amen? I believe, and I've been preaching for 43 years, pastoring 39, I believe that there's a crisis in Christianity. Amen. I said a crisis in Christianity. Because of this evolutionary teaching, Mr. Charles Darwin's junk, we have a crisis. Let me give you some statistics here. We've got 16, according to Berner Research, 1,600 pastors quitting monthly. We have 5,000 churches closing annually. We got almost 3 million people of faith walking away from Christianity. What is the church going to look like in 10 years? What's First Baptist going to look like in 10 years? That's something to think about. Lifeway says that 92% of our Christian boys and girls are walking away from the church. Why? Because they don't understand that they have been created. They have been brainwashed and duped that they came from evolutionary processes. And you'd be surprised how many Christians believe in evolution. It's called theistic evolution. They believe God used evolution. God didn't use no evolution to create me. Amen. He did not. We have been lied on and duped. We saints need the truth. Only the truth is going to help us be what God saved us to be. Do I have a witness in the house? All right. So Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill with all of those smart people. Smart people can be stupid. They can be stupid, but he stood in the midst of them and in Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, ye are too superstitious. Don't miss this. For I pass by an altar inscribed to the unknown God. Now, listen to this. This culture had a lot of gods. So do we. Believe it or not, we that come here at First Baptist have a lot of gods. But here in Athens, they knew there was something more than what they had. So they had this big stone here, and they said to the unknown god, we know there's something else, but we want to honor that unknown god. And Paul tells these people, you are ignorantly worshiping. This stone don't do nothing for you. It may look pretty and so forth, but it doesn't do a thing for you. You are ignorantly worshiping an unknown god. And Paul, at this point, said, these people have to be taught what the truth is. So beginning at verse 24, Paul, let me read verse 24 here for you, so you can stay with me. Please don't go to sleep, because you might affect somebody that's trying to listen. Amen? Amen? God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he, Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Paul said, these people need the truth. So he begins at creation. Brothers and sisters, you got to know where people stand today. You got to know what they believe. And you got to start from the foundation and work your way up to where you need to go. Do I have a witness? Amen. So Paul begins at creation. That's why I say all the time, the most important thing is to know that creation is the very beginning of Christianity. It starts. That's our foundation. Believe it or not, that's our foundation. And so I believe, using my sanctified imagination, I believe Paul took the scriptures to show these people in Athens and talk about creation. You believe that? You don't have to believe what I believe, but this is what I believe. And I believe Paul started off with Psalms 8, verse 1. Listen to this. Psalms 8, verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And then verse 3, he says this in Psalms 8, when I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, that is, brothers and sisters, creation. God spoke it. And every time he spoke, boom, something was happening. Aren't you glad we serve that kind of God? Aren't you glad we have an active working God? He did it, not Darwinian evolution. And it burns me up when they say nothing made nothing. How stupid is that? I come from goo to me. Well, that's another sermon for another time. I believe Paul went on to tell these people at Athens in Psalms 19, verse 1 says this. He wanted to introduce creation to them. Very important, very important. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and his firmament showeth forth his handiwork. That's creation. Just look up in the sky. Just look up. And you better be looking up, because Jesus is going to come one day. You don't want to miss him. You want to keep your eyes on that great day when he comes. And I believe the Lord is going to come sooner than later. And I'm going to be, I don't know about you, I'm going to be ready when he comes. I want him to rescue me. Amen. But Paul is telling these people about creation. He goes on in Psalms 146:6. The psalmist says this, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all therein is which keepeth the truth forever. What does the psalmist say? He's talking about creation. And of course, we all know Genesis 1:1. Don't you know that one? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So Paul begins with creation. You got to have a starting point when you're dealing with people that don't have any better sense to think, this stone, unknown God, this is it. No, it's not it. There's a God that made the stone. You got to know that. So Paul starts off with creation, and then verse 26, he moves on, and he starts dealing with mankind in creation. Now, this may make somebody mad today, but preaching should make you mad, glad, or sad. I want to tell y'all, there's only one human race. Acts 17:26 says, one blood. Now, most people don't want to hear this, but I want to tell you. There are no white people. Amen. And there ain't no black ones either. This is white. Y'all see that? And this suit I got on is black. And you see, I don't match either one. We are one blood. One human race. Darwin was a racist. He introduced that black and white foolishness. And we've been fighting over that. That's a shame. God created us in his image and his likeness. And now, I have to always illustrate this. Some of you are lighter than I am. Amen. But what I have here, what you see here, the Lord gave it to me when I was created. But some of y'all get to the beach or a tanning salon to get it, what I got. I didn't have to. I already got it. When I go to the beach, I ain't going to get no tan. I'm just going to enjoy the water. And I'm not mad at you because I think this is pretty good stuff here. We are not white and black. We're people of color. One blood. And I was preaching in Salt Lake, and I hope I don't run out of time, but if I run out of time, next time I come, I'll finish the message. Amen. That's kind of confident, Pastor. How you know you're coming again? Well, I don't, but I just believe I will be. Amen. I was preaching in Salt Lake City, and I was asked to preach a message how to win black people to the Lord. And I was so mad. I got red as y'all get. It just didn't protrude. It didn't protrude to me. I was so mad. I said, "You gotta be kidding me! What do you mean, how to win black people to the Lord? First of all, I'm not black. So what you ask me to preach? How am I gonna preach how to win black people? I'm not black. Anyhow, I'd preach Mark chapter 16:15-16." About preaching the gospel to every creature. 8 people got saved. Praise God for the gospel still works. In spite of the motives, intentions. So I preach, and at the end of it, I said, folks, I was asked to preach a message how to win black people to the Lord. Here's the answer. The same gospel. I said the same gospel. That will win me, will win you. Or the same gospel that won you wins us. Galatians chapter 1, Paul said, if I or an angel or anybody preach any other gospel, let him be anathema or let him be accursed. Ain't but one gospel. And the gospel of Jesus Christ will win anybody. What color you are, where you come from, who your mama, your papa is, the gospel. Then the Holy Spirit took me a little deeper. The greatest blessing, folks, to know this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, 19. We have not been redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of a lamb without spot or blemish. The greater truth is we are blood brothers and sisters. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. What have made me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. What can take away all my sins? Nothing but the blood. It's the blood still washes our filthy, dirty, rotten, sinful souls. The blood. We are blood brothers and sisters. And if you don't like me, then don't plan on going to heaven. Good. Amen. Don't plan on going to heaven. You don't like me. Because we're family and you can't do nothing about it. And let me say this. We may have come over here in different ships. I might have sailed from Africa. My descendants. Y'all might have sailed from Europe. But praise God, we're in the same boat now. And King Jesus is the captain of the ship. Do I have a witness in the house? We got to get rid of this racial attitudes we have in the Lord's house. And start looking at us like we ought to. We're brothers and sisters. And y'all try to get my color, and I'm satisfied with it. Y'all go ahead and get it. But the blood of Christ is the most important thing. And my co-founder of this ministry, Carl Ball, I was preaching in Salt Lake City. And at the end of that message, I preached how to win black people to the Lord. He came up to me and said, my blood brother. And Willie died. Then when Carl Ball calls me, what does he say? What does he say, Bergman, when Carl Ball calls me? My blood. And all of you need to learn a lesson today in this message. You don't have to call me Dr. Boyd. Just call me blood brother. I'll answer to it because I am your blood brother. But Paul deals with this racial foolishness. And let me say this as I move on here. I've got to close. Anybody ever heard of Planned Parenthood? Raise your hands if you heard of Planned Parenthood. The founder of Planned Parenthood is a woman named Margaret Sanger. She was a disciple of Darwin. She was also like Hitler. Hitler was racist too. Y'all know that. But Margaret Sanger's end game was to get rid of black people. Did y'all know that? You'd be surprised how many people don't know that. But aren't you glad she didn't succeed? I only heard a few amens. Are y'all saying you wish? Aren't you glad she didn't succeed? I wouldn't be standing before you. Dr. Dye wouldn't be standing before you, and neither would be Perrin. He wouldn't be able to sing that song like he sang. Wasn't that good singing? Amen. Amen. But she was a racist, and I'm glad we've got to get rid of this racial attitude and start doing what Jesus loved all of us. That's why he laid his life down for all of us. Well, anyway, I got to move on here. I don't know how much more time I've got. Lord only knows, but it would make my heart feel good if you just say, go on. Amen. Make my heart feel good because, of course, I'm going to go on anyway. But I like to have that sanction. Go on. Amen. Let me move on here. So verse 26, the old race. Then we move to verse 28. Let me read verse 28 here. Amen. I'm having fun. I said I'm having fun. Y'all having fun too? Amen. I'm having fun. All right. For in him we live, move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. In verse 28, Paul moves on from creation to the creation of mankind. He deals with the next topic about Christ. In him. Who's that him? I thought you never asked me. I'm talking about Christ. In him, we live, move, and have our being. Now, I ask this normally when I'm preaching this message. What woke you up this morning? What woke you up this morning? And you'd be surprised how many people say, the alarm clock woke me up this morning. All right. If that is so, will you take your alarm clock to the morgue? Will you take your alarm clock to the cemetery and turn it on? And if anything moves in the morgue or the cemetery, I'm going to move too. I'm going to trade places with that deceased person. The alarm clock didn't wake you up. It was the hand of the Creator, our Christ. He wakes us up. He gives us strength. And when you wake up, you hear the alarm clock. In him we live, move, and have our being. That him is called Christ. He was prophesied in Genesis 3:15. And in Luke 2:11, it was fulfilled. Y'all know the Bible? And then New Testament also tells us, John 3:16, listen to this, for God so that he gave, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? But have everlasting life. Now, that's worth a hand clap, praise. I bet you didn't know this. In John 3:16, you'll find the word the gospel. Did you know that? Did y'all know that? I'm getting ready to show you. The gospel is right in John 3:16. Are you ready? You want me to prove it to you? Amen. I'm going to show it to you. For God so loved the world, there's your G, God, that he gave his only son. There's the O and the S. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. There's the P. But have everlasting life. There's your EL. What does that spell? What an intelligent God. In John 3:16, he gives us a clear picture of the gospel. Acts 4:12 says, there's no other name given whereby men might be saved. We're talking about Christ. In him we live, move, and have our being. I'm so grateful. And I'm going to tell y'all this. I've got rock and roll Christianity. I said rock and roll Christianity. I'm standing on the rock and my name is on the roll. Rock and roll Christianity. Can I get a hand clap here? Hallelujah. Christ, John 1, 1, 2, and 3, in the beginning was the word. You know the rest of it. I got to move on here. John 10, 10, in him, we live, move, have our being. But John 10, 10 says, he has given us life and that much more abundantly. Well, Pastor, you're getting awful loud. When you know what I know, you ought to get loud too. If I can get loud at the lousy Bears and Colts and all them worldly teams, I ought to get loud for Jesus. The Colts ain't taking me to heaven. The Bears ain't either. But who's taking me to heaven? Jesus! You ought to get excited about Jesus. Amen. So Paul introduced here, verse 28, Christ. I got to go on and finish now. Now verse 30. Paul leads these people here from creation to Jesus. Now verse 30 calls for repentance. Let's read verse 30. Believe it or not, I'm almost done. Y'all believe me? You're very intelligent. Don't believe me. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There's a call, brothers and sisters, for repentance. There's a call for repentance. Repentance simply means turn away from your sin. Repentance means to trust Jesus Christ for your eternal life. Repentance means turning from your idol gods, the unknown God, to the real God. He's not in temples made by hands of men. Repentance, turn to the real God. I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is the real God. He woke me up this morning. He started me on this journey. He brought me from Indianapolis here. He's going to take me from here back to Indianapolis. Christ, I'm talking about Christ. But you got to repent. You got to tell God, I'm sorry for my sinful life. And people want Christ, but they don't want to repent. Repentance is in order. And the text tells us it's time to get right with God. Now I'm going to end, and most people get on my case about, well, Pastor, you got 4 or 5 closings. Well, so did Paul. When I read the book of Philippians 3:1, finally, my brother. Then I read Philippians 4:1, finally, my brother. Then 4:8, finally, my brother. Now, if he can have 4 or 5 finals, why can't I? I'm preaching the word too. And you say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Acts chapter 20 talked about one time Paul, and he was a long-winded preacher, and I told Pastor John, most of my sermons are about 2 hours, but I have to split them up because they ain't going to sit there and listen no 2 hours to me. That's okay. But Acts chapter 20 talked about Paul was, Eutychus was sitting in the window. Y'all remember that text? And Paul was long preaching. So he preached, and Eutychus fell out of the loft, third floor loft, dead. Paul stopped preaching, revived Eutychus, and went back to preaching for the next morning. Now, I promise you, I ain't going to preach till the next morning. And if you fall out of your seat and expire, I'll just come down there and pray for you. But Paul had finally, he was a long-winded preacher. I'm looking forward to meeting Paul in heaven. Tell him, I learned a lot of lessons from you. But here, I'm just trying to be funny. But finally, listen to the results of verse 31 says this, as judgment day. Let me read verse 31. Says, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. That's the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So judgment day is coming. Our Lord has been resurrected. He's coming back. And so here we go as we wrap up. The Bible says, this is true today, believe it or not. Some of the people mocked Paul. They called him a what's this babbler going to say? You better start listening to what God says. Because one day you'll have to stand before him, give account. You may call me a babbler or a lunatic or whatever you want to call me, but one day you're going to find out you made a mistake. We all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account. So some of the people mocked, like 2 Peter chapter 3 talked about the scoffers. Amen? And some said, we will hear you another time, Paul. I mean, we hear this good stuff you're telling us about from creation up to a time to repent in Christ. But we ain't ready to accept you. 2 Corinthians 6:2, saints, says that today is the day of what? Salvation. The day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Hebrews 3:7, Hebrews 4:7 warns us, we don't have as much time as you think you have. This could be your last day on planet Earth. And just because you think you look well, don't mean a thing. You could go out this door and die. Please don't die without Christ. The most...
I'm going to have to close it right there. Let's pray together. Can we,
okay,
please?
Yes, sir. We're going to stop right here.
Father, I want to thank you so much for this great message. Thank you for the truth that you give us in your word. And I pray, God, that you would please take these matters and apply them
to
our hearts and lives.
Yes, sir.
Bring people to your Son. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, wherever you are in the auditorium this morning.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you so much for coming. I want to thank Brother Boyd for his wonderful truth. I've enjoyed the message. Would love to hear it about 30 more minutes. But our buses are ready for people to go home. And we've got to hustle. Wherever you are this morning, how many would say, Pastor, I'm not all I ought to be, but I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand if you know that? Wonderful. God bless you. Put your hands down. Is there anyone that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I were to die, I'd stand before God, I'd go to heaven, but I am concerned about it. Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? Let me pray for you. Hold it up high. Wherever you may be, I see several hands to my left. How about in the balcony? Anyone else? Right here, dear friend. Thank you. Anyone else? Hold your hand high. If you raised your hand or should have, as soon as you hear the first note on the piano, would you respond this morning? If you need to follow the Lord in baptism, you be the first to step out and help us. We'll help you get baptized and follow the Lord this morning. Let's stand together, could we please? With our heads bowed and eyes closed. Dear Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts. We've heard your truth from creation to Christ to a resurrected Savior who some mocked, some said, come back, we'll hear you again. Others believed, and I pray that, God, we would be in that latter group. Thank you for your truth. Please work in hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. While the instrument plays, while our singers sing, if God's dealt in your heart, when you come, wherever you are, throughout the auditorium. If you need to follow the Lord in baptism, you come first. If you raised your hand and said, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, you come. Let someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved. We love you. We want you. If you're in the balcony, don't hesitate. You can come down to the back or on the side. We'll be glad to help you. Some of us need to say, God, please help me to have the stamina, the strength to stand in an evil day. I hope you'll encourage you to come this evening. Hear more about why we can have confidence in our great God. We need a name taker right down here, Brother Eddie. That would be great. And those precious folks are going to get baptized this morning. Are there others that need to speak to a counselor about the gospel? If you raise your hand, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Please come. If you're watching online this morning or you're listening on the radio, there's a phone number you can call right now. Someone will take your call, 219-932-0711. You can call or connect with us with the connect at fbchammond.com. We want to help you long after this service is over. The soul winner right here to the left. Am I right? Thank you. Would you conclude us in prayer, would you please?
Lord, thank you for this tremendous opportunity to share the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God will say.
Amen.
To us through your word. Thank you for this pastor, Pastor John Wilkerson. Thank you for these dear saints. And again, Lord, let your will be done, and we'll truly, truly, truly give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.